Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as 1798part2.org as well as republicreview.org. As I mentioned last week, we're now being endorsed and supported by the We the People Foundation as well as the Constitution Club and the previous institutions that have been supporting Republic Review and Reclaiming the Republic is the Constitution Association, Red Pill University with G. Edward Griffin, and there's a couple of others. Forgive me, I'm not prepared to give you the entire list. What I need to do is actually create a web page on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can actually go through and read the endorsements, what they say and so forth, because it's important to understand who's kind of getting behind this so that as you may be wondering, how legitimate or what's the veracity behind these arguments and so forth, I have said this before and I will say this now because now it is fitting because it's a part of the dialogue. This is the only show on air, and this is the only process that I have been asserting for several years that the audit and Republic Review is the only way we will get the federal government back into compliance. There is no other way if you consider draining the swamp as a process that the president or Congress, or we can make laws and inject change. The only way we will actually get rid of the swamp and every form of corruption. Well, getting rid of corruption will be a little taller task, but we will eliminate corruption within the federal government. Then our focus will need to be going to the states and cleaning up the states, because we do know that the swamp does extend all the way to Spokane City Council and City Hall. So this is the only show that is providing the actual solution and defining precisely what the process is. I'm actually putting it out there. I'm just not writing a couple of books for, you know, a money-making venture or trying to create a large market. As a matter of fact, as I said last week, the only reason that I got into this, and my intent has never been trying to make money. Anybody that was actually, if I could have gotten some backers that would be willing to support this show, any growth of this show would only be coming at the support. It's not like I'm trying to make any salary or anything off of this. This is all about the message. And fortunately, I've got this national show that it's a great success. It is really growing. It is very common that I'm beating out the Dana Show and Glenn Beck and a lot of other shows in my time slot. I'm not ranking in the top 10, but I will tell you that my show has been growing very significantly for just 6 months on a national arena. So anyway, if you cannot listen to this local show today, this entire show will be rebroadcasted tomorrow at 5 p.m. It will also be rebroadcasted at 11 a.m. on Saturday, right before the Whitworth football game. And it also is rebroadcasted at 9 p.m. on Sunday. So you have a couple of shots at getting the full broadcast if you want to listen to it from your radio. Or you can stream this live today, and or you can stream this during any of those rebroadcastings at ksbn.net. This is an educational show, and many parts of these shows refer to previous shows, and these shows build off of each other. Consequently, to stay abreast, to stay up with our content and the directions and the things that are happening, you need to listen to all of these shows, one, to garner what Republic Review is and how you can actually help and become a part of the solution in reclaiming the Republic. Don't forget, you can download this content, these podcasts, and all sorts of other content from ReclaimingTheRepublic.org so you can stay informed and get involved, because that's really what it's, that's the most important thing, is getting involved. Today, earlier this week, I think it was Monday night, I was able to interview Ted Cummings for a segment. So right after this segment, when we come back from break, I will be interviewing Ted Cummings, and he's running he's the opponent for Matt Shea. And so I thought it was really important to kind of, you know, provide one is some insights for you on who he is and, you know, is he really ready? And I'm going to wait until you hear, you know, his answers, and I will give you my 2 cents on the back end of this. I think it's really important that we understand who these folks are in context to how important these positions are and important to the work that our state legislators are doing. I also want to give you another perspective today on the importance, because I know I do this a lot. This is a very important election. I'm only staying in the local scene to provide this content to get us through this election. And so I just want you to understand that there are different ways that you can get involved, but you need to understand how to set expectations by getting involved. And there has to be a greater or a better connection for you on things like, especially if you're a business person, what is your return on investment? And those types of things need to be put into scope of what is a realistic expectation on those types of things. And so we'll get into that after this interview and so forth. As you know, Rob Chase and his Republican Coffee Club, they meet every Friday. And this particular Friday, Rob is actually going to have Trooper Jeff from the Washington State Patrol there to talk about, you know, the good work that the State Patrol does. He has still got an open agenda for the 21st, and he's moved the extreme expeditions northwest to the 28th. I think it's because they're really getting close to actually getting Bigfoot pinned, and hopefully they'll be able to bring Bigfoot, or at least some videos of, you know, their successes in capturing Bigfoot and, you know, talking to him and getting his ideas on the Agenda 21 things and so forth, because I know Bigfoot is the real big benefactor in the Agenda 21, because they're trying to, you know, make sure that we no longer encroach upon Bigfoot space. So anyway, that's enough about Bigfoot, right? If you didn't get an invitation, then you missed a very good Northwest Grassroots meeting last night. It was, they've moved it to Tuesdays for a few different reasons. And the movie that they did, and the whole point of this presentation was picking up the pieces and how to move forward after being label lynched and after being wrongly accused of things that there is no evidence. But and so how do you go forward when the media and everybody else are colluding in basically trying to create a perception and a label about you, your organization, that is absolutely false, especially if you don't have the money to go and get a lawyer and go after everybody, because it costs money and it takes a lot of time. So what do you do? What do you do when you're a small entity and they come after you like that? So they kind of got into those details. They got into, you know, the other events that are coming up, and they had a very good movie on the swamp that was actually something that was done by CRTV, and kind of interesting. But we'll get into more of that type of stuff, because it all is interrelated. But as I usually do, I try to tell you a little bit about what I am doing on my Red State Talk radio show. There hasn't really been, not that there hasn't been a lot of good content. I've been going through some highlights and repeating some ratification debate stuff. I got into the 17th Amendment and what and how we need to start moving forward and how the Constitution Club is kind of taking that on. And so at this point, I would highly recommend, if you're really interested in working with others, because it doesn't cost you anything to join the Constitution Club and just Google it. I think it's constitutionclub.ning.com, something like that. But if you Google the Constitution Club, I think it'll come right up for you. And there are thousands of people that are actually a part of this organization, and they're all over the United States. And so if you want to start finding people in the state of Washington, you will probably find some there that you don't know. Anyway, I also talked previously about the Uniparty and how it's impacting this election in Wyoming. And I've had a lot of interesting conversations and what we need to do in trying to get a better outcome out of Wyoming. And there are some real uphill challenges, but I can't get into those things at this point. But I can tell you that there is probably nothing more important than this coming election, and why it is more important that people start understanding, and not only understanding, but finally taking action. Because remember, knowledge is not power until that knowledge is acted upon. And so when we come back, I'm at that hard break point. When we come back, I will have that Ted Cummings interview. So please stay tuned, and I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. And then I will give you my 2 cents on the back end of it. So we will be back right after we're from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least 2 ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer 5 people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. Okay, so I am back, and I actually have on the phone with me Ted Cummings, who I believe is challenging Matt Shea for the 4th Legislative District, but I am absolutely not sure what seat that is. What seat is that, Ted?
It's position one.
Oh, it's position one. Okay.
State representative. Yep.
For the Legislative 4th District, correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. So the focus of my show is the Constitution. You probably garnered that already. And so let me just ask some basic questions. To you, what is the Constitution? And if you could boil it down into a single word, could you?
I guess it's the framework for our country. So framework.
Okay. So as a scholar, it's actually a contract. The framers, you may not have known this, but the framers actually use contract and compact interchangeably when they discuss the Constitution, both in the ratification debates and the Federalist Papers and so forth. And so do you understand the context of it being a contract?
You know, I've never really thought of it that way. To be honest with you, I'm going to have to defer a lot to you.
Okay.
I realize that the Constitution is there, but
that's okay. That's okay.
I'll take your word for it that it's a contract.
Yeah. In Article 7 is the ratification clause, and the term ratification is the formal acceptance of a contract. And in Article 7, they're not only calling that the contract or the Constitution or compact needed to be ratified, it had to be formally accepted. It identified who the stakeholders of the contract were, which were the states. And to support that, in Article 5 of the Constitution could not have any changes to it through the amendment process without 3/4. In other words, the ultimate say over whether something was going to be given to the federal government or not had to go through the states. In other words, the federal government never became the final arbiter. They never had the ability to make changes to the Constitution on their own. Is that news to you?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So that all makes sense.
No,
okay. And so, and the reason this is important, because I'm not sure if you understand, but the state legislators and the position you're applying for, you actually have a role and responsibility over the Constitution.
Over the Washington State Constitution?
No, over the United States Constitution.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Okay. So when the Constitution...
I'm looking at it as a role to represent the people of the fourth. You know, I haven't really considered it from that broader viewpoint, but yeah,
right
with that.
Well, so and the reason this is important in context with my show is that the Constitution is being violated left and right because the federal government was never given the ability to create health care. It was never the ability. The states never delegated through the Article 5 process the ability to create the Department of Transportation, the Department of Energy, the Department of Education, Health, so forth and so on. There are 12 executive departments that are literally unconstitutional. And though this may seem very radical, these aren't just my words that are stating this. This is actually Madison and Jefferson actually drawing these lines. And the ratification debates clearly delineated the limitations that the federal government had and the only way they could assume any new role, responsibility, and power. So back to you. As a state legislator, then when all of a sudden bills start coming through or when the federal government starts passing laws that are violations of the Constitution, what are you going to do about it?
Well, you know, I don't know that I have to do anything about it. We have a court system who rules on constitutional issues. I would think that it has to be cleared through the courts at some point, or am I wrong on that?
You're wrong on that because the states...
I know the courts have overturned.
So you're right. The states have allowed the courts to step in and take their sovereignty, but in the ratification debates, and as a matter of fact, I'll actually tell you what Madison stated as far as the jurisdiction. because this is literally the words of Madison's and not mine. And it's literally one sentence here. The powers of the federal government are enumerated. It can only operate in certain cases. It has legislative powers on defined and limited objects beyond which it cannot extend its jurisdiction. So in other words, if there's nothing in the Constitution on marriage, health, life, or anything like that, then the federal government has no jurisdiction on that. Does that make sense?
Okay. I'm not sure. So what's your point? I mean, I think you're wrapped up, and I defer to you. I'm sure you're far more knowledgeable. I know you're far more knowledgeable about the Constitution and all of this, but mm-hmm. I'm looking at it as, doesn't government exist to allow a framework for us to live our lives?
Yes.
I mean, that's how I'm looking at it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. So the state's responsibility is over life, healthcare, education, and all the things that the federal government has no business or jurisdiction. So that's what you should be doing. And every time that the federal government usurps another power of yours as you become, if you become a state legislator, you should be standing up saying, no way, you don't have this authority. Does that make sense now?
It does, yeah. And you know, I would sure hope I would, but I'm always going to look at it in a broader context, because here's the thing. I don't think that the Constitution, even if we have rules and we sit down and we agree that, hey, this makes sense, don't you think we should be allowed to do what makes the most sense? I mean, I'm not trying to take anyone's rights away. But I do think that we can sit and debate the nuances of the Constitution. I probably sound like a heretic here, but I'm all about pragmatism or being pragmatic. I want everything. I want the lights to come on. I want the water to be clean. I want, you know, the air and all that to happen. And that's how I'm looking at it. Is that make sense to you, or do you think that's the wrong approach?
Well, so let me ask you this, and we'll put it in context, because you've probably been an employee. So your employer probably has an ambiguous contract with you and how they're going to pay you. And it doesn't probably say that they have to pay you. But it probably doesn't say that they have to pay you in dollars and cents. It probably just has a salary of a U.S. dollar amount, but it doesn't say what currency or anything else. And so if your employer comes along and says, we're going to pay you in gold, and we're going to actually give you a whole system so you can exchange it and all of that, so that if the value goes up, you can keep it there and you can sell it when you want. But we're going to, instead of paying you in U.S. dollars, we're going to pay you in gold. They could probably do that. And you would probably go, oh, okay.
Well, I don't know. No. We have a pretty defined contract, and we have things called past practice, and we also have the right to negotiate any changes in that practice. So, no, it would definitely be a discussion.
Right. Well, so you're probably an at-will employee. So if your employer says they're going to make that change, then you have a choice to stay or leave, right?
Oh, absolutely. But I'm a steel worker. I'm a member of a
union. Okay.
So I have a contract with my employer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so in the generic sense, 9 times out of 10, they don't get into the specifics that we will pay you in U.S. dollars, round off to the cents. They only give you a salary based on U.S. dollars. And that could be broken down by an hourly wage. Bottom line is, your employer could then all of a sudden say, you know what, we're paying you in commodities, and we think, you know, it's pragmatic that instead of paying you in that, we're going to pay in a local commodity like pine cones. Now the pine cones are a legal commodity traded on the stock exchange. That at that point, I think you would probably feel that they've actually taken advantage. And at that point, you'd probably leave your contract and leave your employment.
Absolutely. I mean, if that were the case, because that's not
right. But that's my point.
That's a violation of the contract.
That's my point with the Constitution. The federal government has no authority in doing the many things that it's doing. such as education, healthcare, and so forth. Just because the states, and actually I'd like to invite you to look at Madison's veto of the bonus bill, because in that, in 1817, he clearly stated that even if the states allow you to do this unconstitutionally, you're still violating the Constitution, and down the road, the states can pull you back and take it all back.
Okay.
Because when you're violating the Constitution, whether they discover it, whether they even hoodwink and say, yeah, go ahead, keep doing that, it's still a violation. And then they can hold you accountable to the contract, because that's why you have to live and fit things within the parameters of a contract. And that's why it really helps, I think, to getting into the employment. So to me, we've got about 1 minute left. To me, it's very important that I try to flesh out the one, the awareness and the importance of a state legislator, especially the position you're going into, in understanding your responsibilities.
I'm glad we had this conversation. It's a light that I hadn't really focused on before. I looked at what I wanted to accomplish in serving the community. And so, but this is a, I'll definitely do some more research on it.
Right, because as a representative, you have to take an oath. And the first thing you commit an oath to is to supporting the Constitution of the United States. And if you're doing things that are violating that, then you can be impeached. When we finally get to a point of virtue in our society, and I know that's a new concept, but if we get to that point, then actually we can and will start impeaching our politicians for failing to live up to their oath and obligation. Hey, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate your time, and maybe we'll have time for you in the future, but I've got a lot of candidates to get through. So folks, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, so please stay tuned. And again, like I said, I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Okay, so I am back, and I do not have Ted with me anymore, but I actually hope that I have an opportunity down the road to interview him again. I'm going to actually send him an email. I need to do this so that he can kind of look at Madison's veto of the bonus bill, as well as some other things, but it takes a while to learn this stuff, and even though I don't believe many people understand just the magnitude and importance of understanding this, especially if you're going to become a representative of the people in a constitutional republic. It is not a democracy. You have to understand that contract, because, like I said, there are processes of impeachments. Once we become and we are moving towards virtue again, The whole fact that we're aware of the swamp, the whole fact that we are aware of corruption and how bad our political system has gotten, the pendulum is actually swinging because the epiphanies are occurring, just like that the awakening started actually in the 90s because of the corruption of the Clinton crime machine, or the family of corruption, the Clintons. Anyway, in respect to the interview, though, actually, before I get into that, I think that there is this nobility within people. And I think that Ted has a level of nobility that he wants to get in and serve. I think that in some respects, I can't believe that, you know, he's a Aussie plant to just try to, you know, further the, you know, the feud between Aussie and Shay and so forth. But I believe that there's a level of nobility that he does want to serve. I know that there's a lot of good people out there that are in that same boat. But you have to understand your responsibilities. You have to understand why you have to take that oath, where that oath comes from. It actually comes from the Constitution, Article 6. And so you can't take lightly these types of things because there's way too much at stake. We have an out-of-control government. We have government controlling every facet of our lives, and that was never the intent of our self-governing system. Our self-governing system was to allow us, you know, our life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, not basically to have government provide us a path of what we can do and what we can't do. That is not the government that our framers instilled, and that has nothing to do with our American heritage. And so it's important that if you want to step into that fray, you be ready. You have to be ready, and you have to know these types of things. My process in interview, and I tried to interview everybody the same way. I asked basically the same question. We couldn't get that far down this path with Ted because there was just a lot of things. I knew this was going to happen. And so I think it's big kudos to him as somebody that is, you know, running on a Democratic ticket to actually come on my show, because I mean that you have to be bold to be able to, you know, want to get out there and do this. And I think, interestingly enough, I think that he has an opportunity of having some epiphanies, and who knows, he may actually start recognizing the truths and the facts and actually embrace them. There are people that look up at the sun and go, "My, the moon sure is bright tonight," because they refuse to accept the facts and they continually live in their lies. And so, I mean, I don't know Ted, so I'm not going to speak and I'm not going to judge. I'm basically going to say, you know, I'm going to give him some more information and hopefully we'll have him back before the election. But at this point in time, if you want, you know, my recommendation, we cannot vote for people that do not understand and do not know. And so what I wanted to point out is that he was not really, you know, when we started talking about his employment contract, he wasn't really sure of the finer details of his employment contract. And could his employer actually make those types of changes? Because employment, they can actually change whether, you know, your benefits are coming this way, whether you're paying for this. And I understand that a union is there to actually negotiate every facet of those types of things. But when it comes down to the fundamental pay and those types of things, that is already hard fast in the contract. And if the company has those latitudes where they can actually start changing how they pay you, you know, like many companies didn't stipulate that they would pay you direct deposit instead of a hard check. And so companies didn't even change their contract because they did have that form of latitude. I remember the contract that I got when I got out of the Marine Corps. It didn't stipulate that they had to pay me in U.S. dollars, you know, in dollars and cents and so forth. They didn't define it that way. It only gave me a salary in U.S. dollars and how it would break down hourly and that type of thing. But when it actually came to how they're going to be putting that money in your hands, didn't say whether they were going to give me cash, whether they were going to, you know, write a hard check, the depositing, or any of those types of mechanics within the contract. And so I know that this kind of, you know, opened his eyes a little bit and go, wow, okay. And the interesting thing is that when we started talking about this latitude and how a company could start paying, you know, playing these shenanigans with their pay, just in that one little facet of your contract. And really, when we got down to that point in the conversation, you know, he said, well, that would be a violation. You know, technically, if they have the latitude to go into commodities and they can start paying you in commodities and pine cones become a legal commodity exchanged on the market, they can, and it's not a violation, they can actually start paying you in pine cones. And so what I wanted to really impress, and I didn't have time, and maybe he's listening, the framers did not give us an ambiguous contract like that. The framers had a lockdown. I mean, these men were brilliant in understanding how defined that contract was and made sure who had the controls, that the states actually were the final arbiters. They clearly defined, as I pointed out to him, and I can give you a pile of ratification debate evidence of how they defined the contract and the jurisdiction of the federal government to only the enumerated objects within Article 1, Section 8, and how they locked down the Necessary and Proper Clause, the General Defense and Welfare Clause, the Commerce Clause, as well as the Supremacy Clause, and how those clauses only pertain to the enumerated powers and are not portals to obtaining more powers for themselves. That the federal government was literally, I mean, it is sheer brilliance in how well they created such a lockdown contract. And so there is no refuting this. Academically, you cannot refute the facts of this Constitution, how locked down it is, the contract, and so forth. You can only try to start wiggle-worming outside of the documentation into theory, interpretation, and all of that crap. But that's exactly what it is. It's crap, my friends. And so it's very, very important that, you know, people start understanding this. And it's very important that your legislatures understand this, not only understand this, but they understand it to a point of second nature. And I don't know if Matt Shea will come on, but I can tell you already, I can speak for him that he does understand this. I've had conversations. We've actually sat down for lunch before. We have conversed over the Constitution, and he is a huge supporter of the Constitution. I just hopefully I can, like I said, do another follow up. But I've got Jenny Graham and others in the queue in interviewing, so we've only got so much time. But I hope you appreciate the value of these kinds of conversations, so that you can see for yourself, you know, a little bit behind that facade of politics, because, you know, they dress nice, they seem nice, and Ted's a nice guy. Matt Shea's a nice guy. Ozzie Knezevich is a nice guy. I think there's, you know, everybody is nice guys and gals out there. But we have to understand whether they're really qualified for these positions, or are they just being noble because they want to serve for good purposes, but not for the purpose that we need them to serve, and why those positions exist. Those positions exist not to just serve for good things, but very specific things as overseers of the Constitution. And so that's what you get out of the show, and that's what I provide. I do want to, because I didn't get a chance to grovel before, if you want to help, if you want to get involved and support me while I'm on the air here, but I'll still be on the air, you know, after November on my national show if I don't get backers here. If you have money, you've got a computer, you have a phone, even if you don't have money, just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And I will help get you involved in working with, you know, other people and or doing things that will literally assist me in the cause for moving this forward for Washington State. Now, when we come back, I can go into more details on Ted, but I don't have a whole show for it because this isn't the Ted show. I need to get back into talking about virtue, because I kind of brought this up and how Madison spoke about virtue during the ratification debates. And I want you to understand virtuous politics and government and what it is not and what it is. Because when we come back, I want to really start shining the light on really what's going on, because it is directly associated to the importance the utmost importance of why you need to get involved, why everybody, as a part of a self-governing system, we have to get involved. If not, we're going to be allowing Soros and the rest of these people to take control of us because we didn't stand up. And so we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. So please stay tuned, and I will have more information for you after the break. Thank you very much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, so I am back, and I hope you enjoyed that. Like I said, I'm hoping to have Jenny Graham next week, and hopefully I can get some time with her opponent as well, if we can get them into the studio. I just also wanted to let you know that we're going to be getting back with Dave Lucas, maybe his opponent, I think it's Tim Ormsby, and so forth. So I want to have as many of the candidates as I possibly can, so that you can understand who really understands what their job is and who's really going in there to do the job and who is just going in there to serve because they don't want to, kind of like Ted's paradigm, they don't want to, you know, you follow the contract. They want to be able to, you know, go around and do what's best because they all kind of agree that this is the better way to go. That is not our government. Sorry, Ted. That is not our government. We have this contract was defined, and this constitution was established to control government so that they couldn't do that type of stuff, so that we wouldn't live under tyranny, because tyranny is an arbitrary application of laws. And we have been living under tyranny because we've had people with this paradigm of community organizers like the unconstitutional president of Obama and even Bush and even Clinton. We have had a series of unconstitutional government that's been rammed down our throats for almost 2 centuries. And it's time that we start waking up if we're going to turn this around. Now, Madison spoke on virtue in the ratification debates. And I want, because he basically was saying, are we not virtuous? Well, no, we're not anymore, because we've allowed the government to take control of our education system since the end of the 19th century, or about 1900s, when they literally started monopolizing the narrative and moving us down this path of becoming godless and unvirtuous as a society. I will tell you, virtue in politics is non-existent, because we find that the government is kowtowing to specific demographics. offering them things. That is tantamount to buying votes. And the Constitution has no room and provides no latitude for politicians and the government itself, Congress, the president, or even the Supreme Court, access to the public purse to be able to do things for votes. And as far as I'm concerned, that is the epitome of corruption. Madison even spoke of his disdain for having to buy drinks at an election or a polling place so that he could get votes. He knew that was corrupt. He knew that was wrong. And that's the same thing by going out and saying, I'm going to give you health care. I'm going to do this for you. That is pure corruption. And so it is not a virtuous politician. It is not a virtuous government that is doing this. Virtue does not kowtow to specific demographics. Virtue does not buy votes by giving away benefits or entitlements at the expense of the public and literally bankrupting us. In light of what's going on with Google and all of this information that we're starting to find out, Amazon as well, social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, and so forth, it is obvious that there is no virtue in these mega global corporations, that they are all colluding and working to undermine our society, our constitution, and our way of life. They already have the perfect model for you, and if you do not fit it, I want to point out the historical evidence that when they take over, when these ideologues, because Hitler was an ideologue who took over Germany, Pol Pot was an ideologue who took over Cambodia, Lenin and Stalin, as they took over, Mao, as they took over, you can even go further back, even before ancient Greece and Aristotle, because Aristotle had this conversation with Alexander the Great. Why is it that people allow government and these despots to gain that type of control to do the harm that they do? Why is history filled with the repeating of these same stupid mistakes? Alexander the Great was asking that question, and we're still doing it. And his reply, it was very eloquent. And this was actually out of J.M. Roberts' The World History of the World, Part 1, or whatever. I remember reading this. And his reply was that how government and how people try to apply the extension of family and the love of family to government so that government can kind of take care of us like mom and dad. And that is when we compromise our liberty. That is when we compromise and give them our sovereignty. And that is the greatest mistake that is constantly repeated throughout history. So we have to start waking up. We have to start doing things to stop this slide to socialism. And this is why it leads me to this importance on not only just voting and getting other people to vote. If we can get a high percentage of voting, if we can get 100% of the people or 80% or better, we will start turning this county around. Have faith, my friends. Get people out to vote. I truly believe that if we get that 80%, you will actually start seeing the direction, because most people do realize that things suck, that the city council and all of them except for Fagan are hardcore oppressors and communists and socialists trying to ram down oppressive policies down our throats. Businesses, are you looking for a return on investment in trying to support a show like this? Don't look to, your focus should never be on the next customer coming in. The importance is getting government off of your back. The importance is ensuring that your taxes aren't going up. The importance is restoring our road systems so it's not constrained, so the customers can get to you instead of allowing this traffic calming, instead of allowing these Agenda 21 policies to where people can no longer pump water out of their own property. These are the returns on investment you need to be seeking and that you need to be looking for. Your contributions and involvement in shows like this and in, you know, working with politicians like Matt, like Dave Lucas, like Jenny Graham and so forth. These folks are there to fight to get back your privileges and undo these taxes and undo these burdens. There is your return on investment. If you want to stay in business, then that is your return on investment because it is all about getting government off of your back and allowing you to have a good, healthy, competitive environment where you can thrive. If you don't understand that the money that we spend in getting better government is so critical that if you don't do this, if Spokane continually allows the left to buy your government, then you're getting and you're going to reap what you sow. It really comes down to that simple of a solution. You reap what you sow. If you look at the path Spokane is on, the elites of the city council currently are on a trip to Europe to learn about the importance of how to strip you of more of your property rights, more of your accesses into town and into work and into commerce. They're trying to strip you of your voice, everything that they can to control you. Spokane, by the numbers and by the facts, is on a fast track to blight. Not sure how you feel about that, but there is only one way to turn this around. And it has nothing to do with just listening to this show. Actually, it does. It helps. It helps listening to the show. It helps understanding where we need to fight, where we need to focus. But it is far more than that, because if we just listen to the show and we get out and vote, well, actually, that would be huge, but we don't get out and vote. And the real problem is it's the dolts out there that are listening to and are watching the mainstream media and who's advertising on that. And it takes money. It takes big money to be able to advertise, to be able to do those types of things. And if you don't understand, it doesn't take a lot of money. We have 37,000 businesses in Spokane. And if the good conservative businesses stepped up and did their part, like I said after the election, if everybody who voted for these Republicans, constitutional conservatives, whatever that is, because some of them may not be that constitutional, but they're at least conservative and they're a step in the right direction. If everybody that voted for them gave their candidates and their causes $2, maybe that would be a total of $10 a week. That is nothing, but if you add the math up, like with Dave Lucas, that's over $14,000, $15,000 a week that he would have to spending on the necessities of moving his campaign forward. Same thing with Jenny. Same thing with Matt Shea. If these candidates were actually not just getting the votes, but a little bit of support, and what is $2? It's not even a gallon of gas. Come on, Spokane. You have to start backing, not by just voting, not by just listening to this show. You have to start backing. You have to go to Dr. Tracy, who has supported this show, and show, put some standards to your loyalty and start supporting each other. The left is boycott crazy because they have been getting more and more success in shutting good folks down. They just shut down Northwest Grassroots, or they just tried to. We have to step up. And I am telling you, my friends, that we can do this. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic. And with your help, and God willing, we will do this. I'll be back tomorrow. God bless. Have a great week.